But actually, every day you walk onto the set, it's incredibly stimulating and exciting. Every time you want, you see what the new set is. Every time you see a new script. Every time you discover who the new guest star is going to be. Every time you get to be Doctor Who, which is what happens to me. I go to work and I've got to try and be Doctor Who. That remains for me immensely exciting.
These are the Target Files, Doctor Who, Season 10 Reviews. Join us now as we discuss the final season of Peter Capaldi as the Doctor and Stephen Moffat as showrunner. Welcome to the Doctor Who Target Files, Season 10 Specials. This time we are discussing Episode 2 of Season 10, Smile, written by Frank Cottrell Boyce. This is Mike in Swansea, and here comes Alex. What were your initial thoughts on this episode, Al?
Hello there from Alex Nexter. I thought it was a very interesting episode for the second episode of the new season. It had a lot going on with quite a complicated ending, what needed a second watch really to understand it, as I did. It's got good characters, it's got lots of fun bits with the Doctor and Bill getting to know each other a bit better. I did think it was a bit too much like we've had before, but I think that was sort of bearable because it's a new character. But I enjoyed it, I did enjoy it. What did you think?
Yes. I wrote down some initial thoughts here, Al. I think always good in 21st Century Who. It doesn't tend to happen as often as it did in the classic series. We've actually gone off Earth again. That was a good thing. In this story, I thought we had shades of Hartnell and McCoy. And to do with the ending and the way the plot developed with the whole swarm towards the end, I thought that was reminiscent of an Eccleston story, The Doctor Dances. Plenty of intrigue, quite a complicated ending. Very tensely written, very brilliantly acted. Really impressed with Lawrence Goff's direction this week. Some of the vistas and cinematography he put in. So, yes, did enjoy it. Al had a little bit of a struggle with the ending, but enjoyed it overall again. A good, solid start now to Series 10.
Well, that's good. I would agree. There are definitely elements of other episodes. And as we all know, you know, he's not meant to leave Earth for some reason at the moment. We'll hopefully find out by the end of the season why that is.
Yeah, a lot of intrigue there, isn't it? He seems to be keep sneaking away. You know, it hasn't actually been established yet when he went and got the pictures in episode one, the pilot, of Pearl Mackie's character Bill's mum. So we presume he did that within the timeline itself, so she had those photos later on. So he's sneaked away at least twice, and we had the opening scene, a good bit of amusement with Nardole there. Nicknamed Mum by the Doctor, of course. What do you make of Matt Lucas's smaller contribution this week, Al?
Yeah, I really thought it was quite fun still. It sort of wasn't over the top. I know people were thinking that, you know, Nardole might try and take over the full companion bit from Bill and sort of make her role not as good. Well, I think it's done quite well, and it's having him there and sort of dropping quite an important hint. You know, this whole thing of the promise he made to somebody and the vault's really important. So yeah, I think it works quite well. The sort of, you know, you're not going to have Nardole next week with the Victorian episode, and I think the sort of having him there, not having him there, sort of works.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see. An interview with Stephen Moffat before this series began suggested that he offered Matt Lucas the chance to be in maybe 5 or 6 episodes, and Matt said, "Well, I'll be in all of them if I can. You know, it's Doctor Who. I love it."
Yeah, I saw that. You know, the fact that he lives in Miami now and is sort of, you know, having to come back to Wales for months, you know, and then he sort of jumped it. He's a big Doctor Who fan, apparently. So, what did you think of the whole being quite a stripped down episode? Not many other characters except the Doctor and sort of Bill taking centre stage. I think there's about one, two, I think there's about three other characters, including them, I think, in this week's episode.
Yes, well, I remember around about the time this was filmed last autumn. So, Ralph Little Al, perhaps a little bit underused as he was advertised as having a cameo appearance, but it was fairly central to the ending of the story. What did you make of his turning up in this episode?
Well, yeah, I would agree. It was definitely sort of understated. Like, until you just said it then, I'd actually forgotten it was Ralph Little. So he sort of didn't really know his point of being there. Well, it was quite important by the end because of the whole sort of conclusion of this story and, you know, the way it gets affected by things.
Yes, and then right at the beginning of the tale, we had Mina Anwar, who played Rani's mother in the Sarah Jane Adventures spin-off. She was dispatched fairly quickly, you might say, but playing a very similar character again. I don't want to get too critical of actors, but perhaps she hasn't got the greatest range.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. Yeah, I think range isn't that great, to be honest. But she was interesting, and, you know, we need the whole quite fun way they got rid of her was quite good, I thought.
Yes, and how did you feel about the robots themselves, nicknamed the Vardis? Frank Cottrell Boyce actually based them on a scientist who is heavily dominant in the field of robotics called Professor Andrew Vardy.
Yeah, I thought they were quite fun and you know, quite menacing. They had that sort of rampant Ood feel to my thought, and I thought the whole emoticon thing was quite funny, to be honest. And people, I don't know if they use emoticons, but I know people who use them all the time. I doubt they'll be using them now if they watch that.
Yeah, it's quite comical to begin with the emoji faces, weren't they?
Oh yeah, it was really quite cute to begin with, till they got to the whole skull faces on them, and you figure it'd be cool any minute. And that one quite nasty scene where, you know, the Doctor opens the drawer and his head's falling out.
Yes, but for me, because of the whole, perhaps the white design, the smiley faces, the size of them, they didn't have quite as much menace. I suppose that might have been as intentional, as we had the swarm as the main sort of threatening menace in the story.
Would you agree that a lot of people have been on Facebook comparing them to the Happiness Patrol people?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Shades of the McCoy era, Al. Off-world again. Sort of more of a vast landscape than the tower block we saw in the Happiness Patrol.
Definitely. Those buildings just look fantastic, I thought. Valencia, I think, is where those buildings are based. They just look beautiful, very sort of scientific and sort of very sort of in your sort of 21st, you know, futuristic. I thought they looked great, those bits did.
Yes, the vistas, Al, very reminiscent of Star Wars, the recent Disney movie Tomorrowland as well.
Oh, definitely, definitely. It had that feel of futurism. But I would agree, did you actually think, though they're quite scary, did you actually think the Vardy were that scary? I thought, unfortunately, the cuteness of the emoticon sort of took a little bit of the scariness away.
Yeah, that's what I was getting onto a moment ago, Al, with the swarm. I think the swarm were set up to be the main menace in the story, so the Vardis were more or less the pilot fish, weren't they?
Oh, definitely, definitely. But I think if you were a child, it would scare you, and that whole bit of the heads falling out of the drawer. For you always know in Doctor Who, when they start talking about fertiliser, who it's going to be.
Oh, yes, and definite references to Soylent Green there, the 1970s film.
Oh, definitely, definitely. That whole thing of, you know, the humans are the harvest, basically. I think that's a nice little reference. I think it was that's the whole thing about this episode. I think it was good. Well, maybe a tad formulaic sometimes.
But, yeah, the script itself, Al, some excellent dialogue throughout for Peter Capaldi and Pearl Mackie, as you said, more of a two-hander throughout this episode, really. They both had their moments, didn't they?
Oh, they were both absolutely excellent. And that bit at the end where, you know, Peter's doing the story about, you know, the guy who had the wishing fish, I thought that was brilliant. And this whole thing of, you know, him not being completely in control with Pearl McAfee's Bill Cater, always asking questions, and they're not annoying questions, they're sort of things you want to know, and it sort of does move the sort of dialogue on, I think.
Yeah, they're almost the sort of questions you might ask, not heavily to do with the plot, sometimes to do with the plot. The sort of questions we might ask at home, such as Why haven't you put the seats in the TARDIS closer to the console?
I know. It's like, you know, that was good. And, you know, that lovely bit at the end where he goes, oh, I'm not that great at steering then when we end up in sort of Victorian London.
Yeah, as you said, Pearl Mackie, how do you feel she's developed in this short period since last week? We had that one wonderful scene where she was looking at a tablet of Earth's history and it moved on to Earth's future, and then she had the horrific realisation that humans would one day have to abandon Earth in the universe, and she seemed to turn her emotion on a sixpence from happiness to real sort of tears in her eyes sadness.
Oh, I thought she was absolutely brilliant again this week. I had quite worrying concerns about Pearl Mackie because she's never done any TV acting, and you think, oh god, is she going to be any good? And since last week I've really warmed her. I just think she's brilliant. I think her accent can be a bit weird sometimes, but most of the time it's really enjoyable watching her.
Yes, you know, having watched Doctor Who for as long as we have, folks, sometimes you can forget the sort of the fresh approach that a new companion brings, but she brought something else to it in terms of, yes, this was her first sort of main trip off planet, wasn't it? You know, she had a trip in the pilot to the Mavellan spaceship or the Dalek spaceship, but this was her first real sort of adventure with the Doctor, and she conveyed that delight really well, Al, I thought.
Oh, I agree. She just felt like, you agree, I think it sometimes needs that reboot, a new sort of companion, and to give that extra freshness, and her and Peter are just sparking off each other. That whole bit where she goes, oh, well, how did you get the TARDIS? And he goes, oh, I nicked it. He goes, well, can I nick it off you? And he's just smiling back at her. It just works.
There were sort of one or two moments where his smile was very much with the teeth on show. It was very reminiscent of Tom Baker.
Oh, definitely. There's just those real connections to the past, I think, again.
Yeah, any sort of specific lines of dialogue and sort of the jokes that stood out for you, Al?
All that bit at the, in the beginning, he's talking about the TARDIS, you know, not having seats closer, and then he's explaining about, oh, well, what happened, you nicked it, and then, can I nick it? And he's looked back and, you know, to see going, no. I don't know, there's just lots of good bits, like the whole dialogue where he explains the whole thing about the promise, and then the bit, you know, he's just really good, I think.
Yeah, there was that one good line, reminiscent of Rose, really, like, how come you sound like you're from the North, you know? How come you're Scottish? And he said, oh, I'm not Scottish, I'm just grumpy.
Oh, yeah, the whole great bit in the bits of, you know, about Scottish independence, and, you know, and it's been there, you know, for quite a while, Doctor Who now. What is this thing, Nicola Sturgeon, probably loving last night's episode.
Yes, and, reminiscent of The Beast Below, wasn't it, when Amy Pond discovers the Scotland.
I don't know if you've seen it, there has been a comparison between that episode and last night's episode, because it's very, you know, close to the whole thing about Earth ships going away to other planets and that.
One point for me, perhaps, where the ending became a little bit convoluted was when Ralph Little's character appeared and the child appeared. There was a great deal of tension before then, and it slightly confused me for a moment, Al. How did you feel about that? That move towards the episode's end?
Ranks up the tension, and then suddenly, because he's like, just come up with a thing of being annoying people about the whole reboot idea, that it sort of takes out the tension a bit. But I think they got around that by having the whole great Peter Capaldi speech about the fish, the wishing fish in person. I think that worked well. Like you, I had to watch it again to get exactly what was going on at the end there, because I was getting confused.
Yeah, you had to remind me. Was the fish analogy story mentioned earlier in the episode as well? Or was it just dropped in towards the end?
I don't think it was. It was just at the end there when he went to that bit of Peter talking about, you know, what would the person want if he had a wishing, you know, that bit there, I think.
And on to the very ending itself. Somebody pointed out on Twitter in the end, you know, just a few episodes ago, in the last season anyway, you had the Doctor working out all these massive calculations in his mind within the, was it Heaven Sent or Hellbent episode, to get out of the trap he was in?
Yeah, it was that bit, wasn't there? But I think in some ways, they're being quite sneaky by having a major trap he's already in sort of pointed out to you from episode one with the whole vault thing, I think. And I think it's so complicated, that ending. It does need a second watch, I think. But I just thought it was rather nice actually going into the next episode at the end, and I think basically, you know, coming next week sort of slightly spoiled that.
Yeah, he jumped ahead slightly there, Al. I was just about to say about the big calculation he worked out, the massive amounts of calculations he worked out to get out of the trap in Heaven Sent. But yeah, this week he misses the whole issue until right the end of the episode of just having to wipe the mines and restart the robots. That
I agree. That was quite complicated, and as per Macca's character, all you need to do is turn it off and turn it back on, basically.
Yes, that then seemed quite an obvious thing to do towards the end.
Yeah, I would agree. It's sort of, maybe we hate to say this about writers, but maybe they came up with something that was so complicated that Stephen Moffat just went, no, go with something simpler.
Absolutely, Al. I'm talking about the technical aspects of the episode. I thought the direction was excellent again from Lawrence Goff. As we've mentioned, all the filters on the camera seemed to be a bit of a blue element at times, particularly when they got out of the TARDIS within the cornfield. What do you make of those longer shots, Al? The wide vistas of the planet they landed on.
Oh, I really love that. It sort of made it feel quite, this is sort of out there and beautiful and paradise with a big cornfield shot. And that's somewhere in Wales, isn't it, the cornfield?
I think so, Al. It's possibly the one from the beginning of Let's Kill Hitler.
Yeah, I think it is the same one, apparently. And then the rest of it was in Valencia, except for the cornfield, I think. But it just looks very sort of cinematic the way he shot it. And it slightly reminded me of the, if you remember, the early shots of the time of the Rani.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Sort of the pink filter as well, the pink and blue filter.
Yeah, that sort of very planetary feel, and the music had that nice filter. So I think it was shot very well.
Yeah, there was one great sweeping shot, a great use of CGI, when the Doctor was describing the history of the building, and it ended up with a swooping, I imagine it was a, I can't think of the word, drone. I imagine it was a drone shot.
Yeah, it looked like a bit of a drone. Well, it did look really nice, though.
Just massive sweeping shot, wasn't it? Really, really good, that. Yeah, one thing technically which did disappoint me was the music. They seem to be reusing a lot of Murray Gold's cues this series, Al. He doesn't seem to be coming up with too many new ones. I think he is leaving at the end of this season, and perhaps, that's reflected now, and they seem to be reusing a lot of his former cues so far this series.
Yeah, I wonder if you were going to mention that, because that was the one thing I did pick out. There's always now they have that, because it's a nice piece of music, the Doctor's theme, but it just seems to be getting overused in the first two episodes. And I think the thing he's done for Bill is quite nice, but I agree. They do seem to be using his music an awful lot of the stuff we've already had, basically.
This is Alex Gibbons' Doctor Who News Round.
Hello there, this is Alex, and this is Who's News on April the 23rd. Well, first thing we need to discuss is the viewing figures for Smile last night on BBC One at 7:20. It got 4.25 million viewers, which for this particular spot on a Saturday night is pretty good. It's slightly better than the second episode of Season 9, The Witch's Familiar. This is a good ratio for the amount of people, but it will probably go up once we add the stuff on BBC iPlayer. Well, according to unofficial figures, it got a share of 22.9% of the ratings last night. In the Sign Zone last night, the first episode of Season 10, Doctor Who the Pilot, got a viewing figure of 129,000 deaf viewers, which is fantastic for that. Well, rather exciting news about episode 4 of season 10, Doctor Who, Knock Knock. The BBC are going to release it on the iPlayer with binaural 3D optic sound, which means when you wear headphones, it will feel like you are immersed in the sound of the episode. So if you have creaking floorboards, prepare to be scared. A bit of Target news now. The audiobook of Genesis of the Daleks, which is coming out in October, has been announced that John Coleshaw will be doing his fantastic performance of the Fourth Doctor again, reading it. And also, as normal, Nick Briggs will be doing one of his amazing performances as the Dalek. From BigFinish.com, there are a few things to mention. First is Death Ras with Tom Baker and Lara Ward. Big Finish also released Alien Heart Dalek Soul this week, with Peter Davison as the Doctor and Nyssa as his companion. Very interesting, well worth a listen, as it's changing the format of Big Finish main reigns with only two stories, which have two separate episodes. It's very, very good, with an interesting outlook on what could happen to the Dalek. Big Finish also released, and it's Torchwood Reigns this week, The Dollhouse. A very interesting outlook on Torchwood if it was set up in LA in the 70s. I believe it has a Charlie's Angel feel to it.
Alex, your overall thoughts on Smile by Frank Cottrell Boyce?
Well, I thought it was a very good second episode for this new series, what seems to be going along very nicely so far. The companion Bill is seriously growing on me, because I think he's got all the things you need in a new companion. He's asking plenty of questions. He's being there for the Doctor when he starts doing things he shouldn't really do, like trying to kill off a whole human colony by accident. And I thought it was a good episode. It had good pace. It was funny when it needed to be, but quite serious in other places. The concept was good. It was shot beautifully, thanks to the great director. And it looks really beautiful from start to finish. And it gives you that feel of space, what space could be, really, I thought. And I liked the way that the episode went into the next episode, which some thought it was spoiled a bit by having coming next week, unfortunately. I think they didn't really need that this week. So, overall, I think I'll be mulling this over, because I was tempted to give it higher. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5, I think.
Ah, good score, Al. Yeah, to add my thoughts. Yeah, really enjoyed this one. A strong start to Series 10 of Doctor Who in the 21st century. Yes, very enjoyable. Peter Capaldi and Pearl Mackie, pretty sublime together, showing a great chemistry already. Very well directed by Lawrence Goff. The vistas, as we mentioned, were wonderful. Some of the cinematography, that one particular sweeping shot over the building of the over the history of the building, and then sweeping down to the cornfield with the TARDIS and the two main characters, was very memorable. I'll always remember that one from this episode, I think. Slightly disappointed things, perhaps the overuse of some of Murray Gold's music cues now. Possibly quite convoluted and rushed, the solution towards the end. That's what we get in modern 45-minute episodes of Who, though. Did enjoy the sort of throwback to the Hartnell era with the lead-in to next time's episode. Really looking forward to that one. So, as with you, Al, perhaps I said a high 8 for the pilot last week. I say a slightly lower 8, perhaps an 8.5. for Smile, whereas perhaps it was 8.75 towards 9 for the pilot. But yeah, a really good start to Series 10, I think, Al.
Yeah, I would agree. It's going very nicely so far. We've had just the right sort of tone and episode, I think, in there. I think next week's going to be quite fun. Well, it would be interesting to see. I know they did it with the Shakespeare Code. Are they going to bring up the whole, you know, reference to, you know, Bill's colour and that, like they did with Freema?
Yes, from what I read, I think there's going to be sort of racial undertones to this story as well. I think the general theme is whether whatever monster is below the ice is worse than the monsters we have in the human race in the Victorian era above the ice. I think that's the central theme, Al.
Well, that will be really good, because what I've sort of heard of the episode, it's going to be quite a sort of fun episode to begin with and then go quite dark.
Yeah, and what did you make of the elephant coming out onto the thin ice?
Well, I thought that was really, I think that was really cool, but I would have personally sort of only seen a shadow of an elephant and sort of teased you for next week. Then you saw the full elephant, really.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the Hartnell episodes, that, where they used to lead into the next one.
Yeah, I really like that, and if they're doing that for the whole series, I don't think they need the coming next week thing. That's what slightly spoiled me, because you had that great shot of the elephant and then he went, coming soon next week, and he sort of went, oh, I don't really need that. Well, I would agree, and I would agree with the whole music thing. It just seemed to be using Murray's bits over and over again. It's like every time there's now the Doctor thinking, you get the Peter Capaldi theme. It's like, don't really need it.
Our theme tune, folks, check it out by somebody called Vale Mystery, V-A-Y-L-E Mystery.
That's very good. I do like that. Well, I just worry, when they get to bringing the Masters back, are they going to have the same bit of music? Are they not going to bother to compose something new?
Yeah, the one that the Judy Gardner famously used to sing, The Master. Over the Master, The Master. Which we all do secretly now, folks, I think.
I think they need something new for, if they're going to do a big sort of, wow, it's both of them, they need something new for each. So I do like the bit of music for The Missing, that is quite fun. Next time on the Target Files, we'll be discussing Season 10, Episode 3, Thin Ice by Sarah Dohard.
Contact us on Twitter at DW Target Files handle, or search Facebook for the Doctor Who Target Files podcast. Doctor Who Target Files Season 10 Review featured Alexander Gibbons and Michael Winks. 12th Doctor Theme, composed originally by Murray Gold, version for the podcast by YouTube channel user Vale Mystery. That's V-A-Y-L-E Mystery, folks. Please do check out their channel. Doctor Who Target Files Season 10 Specials Smile Review was recorded in Swansea, South Wales, and Exeter, Devon, England, during April 2017.